He's the image of God. He's Emmanuel. He's joy. He's King. He's the Lamb of God, the Lord of Lords, the Light, the Lion. He is love. He is life. He's the Living Stone. He's the Master. He's the Messiah. He's the Most High God. He's the mouth of the Word of God. He's mercy. He's the name above all names. He's the overcomer. He's the prophet. He's the priest. And he's the Prince of Peace. And that's just a few of the names of Christ in the Bible. Every one of those names tells us something about him. Very interesting situation. When you find a name for Christ in the Bible, you ought to look that up and see what it means, because it'll tell you who he is. And we're interested in who he is today. But another interesting factor is that the Bible wants to know that we need to know who we are. Who are we? People without Christ really don't have a clue. They will stick to the fact of what they do, and they say that's who they are. What they do. But the Bible says it's what you are in your heart, what you are in your soul, what you are in your spirit is who you are. And if you receive Christ, the Bible says something very interesting. Christ comes and indwells our spirit. So you can, if you're a Christian, everywhere you go, you have Christ. There's no way to not have Christ, because he is in our spirit. And he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You might feel like he's not there, but he says, I am here. And so he is in us. That is one of the most important scriptures, I think, that woke me up, that I began to realize that I was not who I was before. Because now I had Christ in me, the hope of glory. There was no possible way I could be the same, because Christ was in me. And so the question is Christ in you? Every Christian who's a true Christian has Christ in them, the hope of glory. And so if you do not have Christ in you, you're not one of his. That's what the Bible says. So it's not how good you are or how good you live, it's who you know and who you have in you. That's the issue. The Bible says before we're Christians, we have the world, the flesh, and the devil in us. Some of us showed more of the devil than others. But after we're saved, we have the Spirit of God in us. And so we're different people. We're in a different family. We have a different father. I like that part. We have a different father. And so we need to understand what this is all about and how does it affect us on a daily basis. That's the issue. Look in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And we've been in this scripture many times, but this is a series of scriptures that you should know where they're at in the Bible and what they say, because this begins to tell us who we are in Christ. Now, it's like that, I don't know how many were here when I told the story of that king and queen that adopted that little girl. Well, the important thing about that is this little girl had everything, but she kept wearing that same tattered dress, and she had a whole closet full of brand new clothes. But she didn't wear them. Why didn't she? She didn't know in her heart that these things were really true, that she had been adopted by the king and queen. She had an inheritance from them, and she had everything she would ever need. And it was all in that closet, but she just would go in and look at it and say, these things are wonderful, but she'd keep wearing that little tattered dress. Now, that's the way a lot of Christians are, and that's why I'm teaching this, because you need to know who you are, not so you can run around and boast how wonderful you are, but so we can go around and boast how wonderful he is. You see, that's the issue. And so we should be excited about telling people how wonderful Jesus is, because this is what he's done. Let's look in verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And that he died for all, that they who live should not henceforth live unto themselves like they did before, I add, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Grace, I want you to tell, some of you heard this on Sunday night, but I want you to hear this morning, because Grace and I were watching Christian television, and this woman got on there, and what'd she say, Grace?
Well, what was so remarkable is we were late, and I was trying to make lunch and just wanted something on TV to keep me going, and so I pushed the button, and right in the screen came this huge black woman dressed all in red with bright red lipstick. And she's looking right at us, and she says, I was walking in my kitchen last week, minding my own business, and I heard the words, stop being stupid. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, people, I'm not going to call myself stupid. So I said, what? And I heard again, stop being stupid. Well, then I knew it was God, she said. So I said, God, why are you telling me that I'm stupid? And he said, stop worshiping yourself. And she says, I realized. I get up in the morning. First thing I do is think about my day, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to accomplish, what I'm going to do the whole day long. I hardly even talk to God, ask him what he thinks about things. And she said, I found that during my day, it's all about me. My agenda, what makes me happy, what I'm trying to get done, my whatever, it's all me, me, me. And she said, I realized that's why I have no peace. That's why I have no joy. That's why I'm always nerved up and miserable. And she said, finally, I said, okay, God, I'm not going to worship myself anymore. I'm going to start the day and ask you what you think about things. And all during the day, I'm going to talk to you about it. And she said, my life has changed. I have peace. I'm even happy at times. And all that anxious worry is gone. Now, the remarkable thing for Jerry and I is here I am rushing around getting lunch, thinking about only, again, what I'm doing, how fast I can go, how, whatever. And I realized, my goodness, how much of my day, it's all about me, what I'm going to get done, what. And so I believe that that was a direct word from God to us personally, and again, if it helps anybody here, if it means anything to you, then we just want to share it.
Okay, the issue is, of course, the world doesn't revolve around us. That may be a great revelation, but it's really true. And, if you believe it does, you come down to the end of your life, you see, and you'll find out real quick it doesn't. It says that he died for all, that they who live should not henceforth live unto themselves. That's what we're talking about. But unto him who died for them and rose again. In other words, instead of living to ourselves, we're supposed to be living to Christ. You see, as I said the first thing in the service today, I said three very important things. Honor the Lord, obey him quickly, and be thankful. If you do those three things, and of course the whole thing's done in love. It's his love. What we don't understand is his love. And it's his word, and it's his world, and it's his eternity, and the whole thing belongs to him. And he blessed us by putting us in it. And then, when we messed it up, he died for us. That's what this verse says. You see, it's right there. Wherefore, hence, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know him no more. Therefore, if any man, and it means woman also, be in Christ. The word, key word here is in Christ. He is a new creation. Your Bible might say creature, but the word is creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And what that means is you don't have to wear that old tattered dress anymore. Are you listening to me? You don't have to be in a tizzy all the time. You don't have to run around with no peace. You don't have to worry about where you're going, because generally you know where you're headed. You're headed for an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Your life is different than it was before. In fact, if you have Christ, it can't be the same. Are you listening to me? Now, it says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, somebody says, well, my hands didn't change. That didn't become new. What he's talking about, the new part, is the very center of our being, our spirit. We're spirit, soul, and body. Christ came and inhabited, if you received him, your spirit. Now he wants to come out into your soul and renew your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and then, of course, into your physical body and out to the world. Now, these few verses just tell us a whole lot. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, but I want you to see it. Old things are passed away. That means your old inheritance, your old destiny is gone. You were destined for eternal hell. Now your destiny has changed. And behold, things have become new. And God's going to renew you before you go to be with him. And what he can't renew, he's going to bury. And that's your body. Very interesting. Now, verse 18, all things are of God. If we could just get that in our head, it would be very helpful. All things are of God. He who has reconciled us to himself through or by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, there's a whole lot in that verse. It says, number one, God made the box. I talked about this. The box is the entire creation of God, the entire universe. God made it all. He made planet Earth. He put us in it. He put us in there for a purpose. One, that he would love us and we would love him. He wanted people that made a decision to love him on a daily basis, that he could love them for eternity. If we can love him on a daily basis, he'll love us for eternity. That's what it's talking about. So he reconciled us. He declared us not guilty. He said we are free in him to now start living the kind of life we were designed for in the first place. You know why people get sick and why people die and why all these things happen? It's because we live outside of the design of God. We live outside of the plan of God, and it messed up everything. And the earth is not getting better, it's obviously, if you read the newspaper. The earth is not getting better. It's getting worse. And it's going to come down to the place where Jesus is going to come, and he's going to take them that love him, hallelujah, and they're going to be with him forever. Are you listening to me? That he is going to let the rest of it go. It's temporary. It's going to be gone, and he's going to set up the kingdom, and I'll guarantee you that when he sets up his eternal kingdom, there's not going to be any more living out of his design, because there's going to be so much love that you'll love him and he'll love you, that you will be the design of God. Now, we're getting a taste of it today, and that's what it says, that he's reconciled us to us by Jesus Christ. It's through Christ that these things happen, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So the one thing you know for sure, that God wants you to share him with other people. When it says ministry, it doesn't mean the pastor. It means all of us. We have a ministry of reconciliation. You can't give anybody something you don't have. Are you listening to me? Some people say, well, you know, I just never talk about Jesus. I have Jesus. Well, you can't give out something you don't have. And so I'd be concerned about what's going on inside of me, you see. And so this says that he's given us a ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we beg you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. And Grace was talking about, instead of getting up and say, what can I do today? What can Christ do through me to touch somebody else's life? That's what you need to get up for. We have the ministry of reconciliation. It was given at salvation. You may not have all the information, but I can tell you this. You can lead people to Christ with two words, Jesus saves. Are you listening to me? You don't have to have a lot of information. I led my brother-in-law to Christ a little while after I was saved, and all I did was, I didn't know a lot of Scripture. He knew more than I did. But all I told him was what Christ did to me, did for me, rather, and to me, too. And that's what I told him, and he went away shaking his head, but one day, when I was around him again, he said, tell me again this thing about what Jesus did. And the next morning, he accepted Jesus Christ, his personal Savior, and a year later was pastoring a church. Now, just because all I knew was what Christ did for me. You don't have to have a lot of information. But Jesus tells us the information. One thing you are in Christ is you're an ambassador. One thing you are in Christ, you are a minister of the reconciliation, of the salvation, of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're an ambassador. We're representing Christ on a daily basis. That should make your day different. You see, we have to start living out who we are. Take that old tattered thing off and put on the new in the name of Jesus Christ. You have to make a conscious decision to do that. You can still live in the past if you want to, but the past is dead. It's death. It goes nowhere. It's like driving your car constantly looking in the rearview mirror. And you're going to run into something. You can't live in the past and say that you love Jesus Christ. You see, it's impossibility. So, he says, we're ambassadors of Christ, and so on. So, be reconciled to God. And verse 21 is one of the most beautiful verses in the entire Bible. And here's what it says. For he made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. One of the most amazing things happened on the cross that you can possibly imagine, probably the biggest miracle of all time. God took all the sin of mankind and put it on one person who had never sinned ever in his existence, never experienced sin in his entire existence. He took all the sin of mankind. And for those hours on the cross, Jesus Christ, in fact, it says that the Father was in Jesus and they both experienced the sin of the world who had knew no sin. Every sin we ever committed, everything we ever said, everything we ever did, everything we ever will do was put upon Jesus Christ on the cross. You say, what about our future sin? All your sins were future. When Jesus Christ died, and he died for them. Doesn't that want you to, so much love is just poured out on us that we would certainly want to love him on a daily basis? You see? For he who knew no sin, he was made sin, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took our sin. and gave us as a gift his righteousness. If you are a Christian today, you have the righteousness of God. I didn't say you always act righteous. I said you have the righteousness of God in your spirit. But what God wants us to do is start living righteous in our life. In the very center of your being and your spirit, you are as righteous right now as you will ever be for eternity. It can't get better. It is the righteousness of God. You have that within you if you are a Christian today. That's why you can't live that old life. If you're in the Word of God, you begin to understand it. Not just the beginning. I want us to look now, Galatians 3:26. We're going to look at some scriptures in the Bible here. And so let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Let's see. That's not it. Galatians 3:26. Okay. Now, it just keeps saying in this Bible, and it keeps saying it, and it keeps saying it. So you ought to understand that if you have Christ, you have these things, and if you don't have these things, get saved. Come to Christ. Receive the Lord. For it says in verse 26 of Galatians 3, "For you are all the sons," your Bible might say children, but it's sons. "You're all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond or free, there's neither male or female, you're all one in Jesus Christ. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." That's what it says. You are heirs of God. Just like that little girl was an heir to the throne, she was an heir to the everything that the king and the queen had, we are heir to the things that Christ had. He has made a decision in eternity past that he was going to share his inheritance with you. Now, that's an amazing thing when you think about it. All things are God are yours according to the Word of God. Some you receive in this life, some you receive in the next. But all things that God has, you have a part in. It's like this. I've told this before, but I'll tell it again. In the Roman world, many times a Roman soldier, Roman officer, would have many wives. He would have all these wives, and therefore he'd have a lot of children. They might have as many as 20 or 30 children because they had all these wives. But listen to me carefully. All these children were not heirs. The only way you became an heir in this Roman officer's family was that because the way you responded to him, he would choose you and he would adopt you as his own child. And when he adopted you as his own child, then you became an heir of what this Roman officer had. But unless he adopted you as his son, you were just one of those children that he put on this earth, but you were not an heir. You didn't inherit all things. Now the Bible says that Jesus Christ has chosen you, and I'm going to show you where it says that in the Bible. We don't choose God, he chooses us. I want you to understand how this works. Somebody says, "Well, you know, I chose God, so now, you know, I'm just so wonderful." No, that's not the way it is. You didn't choose anybody. You didn't choose God. You can't choose God. God is God. He has to choose you. You see, I'm going to show you where it says that. John 15:16. Look in that. And I want you to mark these scriptures down so you know them now, because this is very important. This is that chapter. It talks about that you're the vine and the branches and all that stuff. Well, go to John 15 and verse 16, and I want you to underline this in your Bible and get this in your mind, And we're going to repeat this together. In fact, let's do it. John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now, you know, it's an interesting thing. You'll find that constantly also in the Word of God. When God talks about what he did for you, then he says, now you love somebody else. Everything God does is love, because God is love, according to the Word of God in 1 John. But what I want you to see here, God says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. All these people running around the world, and I reached down and chose you, and because I chose you, then you came to me. You can't come to God without his choosing you. So it's a very interesting situation. But because the situation is, God says out of love he chose you. Now, you say, well, I thought I have a choice. Yes, you do. How do you know you're a chosen one? Because you choose him. Are you listening? How does somebody know they're a chosen one of God? Because he puts it in his heart for you to choose him. So this whole thing of God, we end up at that table that Wayne was talking about, that table, there's going to be a wedding in heaven. We're going to be married to Christ. There's going to be a reception, and we're going to sit at that table. And I'm going to tell you one thing we're not going to talk about, how wonderful we are. We're not going to be talking about, oh, I chose God. I'm just so great. You know, nobody at that table is going to say anything like that. They're going to say, he is my Lord. I love him. He chose me. I belong to him. He's given me everything, and it's all because of him. And when you can get that idea and start living that way every single day, your life's going to change. Yep. Are you listening to me? Because what most people do, they come on Sunday, hear a good word and say, wasn't that wonderful? And then, isn't the Word of God good? Not that my preaching's wonderful, just this is the Word of God. And the issue is, then I'm going to start living. I have it all. Hallelujah. I have everything that God has. I'm an heir of God. I'm going to sit down at that table with him, and we're going to have a session. I'll tell you, it's going to be wonderful. It is going to be just so fantastic. You can't even hardly imagine about the thing. But I love that. You have not chosen me, but I chose you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see, every night I get down on my hands and knees, and I say, thank you, Lord. Every single night. Thank you, Lord. Because I know where it came from. I know who the source is. I know who the mastermind of the whole thing is. You see. And I see the cross. I see the cross. One thing that just baffles me is a church that doesn't have a cross in it. You know, because I see a cross, that old rugged cross. Word God chose me, word God choose me, to be correct, on that hill called Calvary. My name was on that cross. And your name was on that cross. The church is people that love God. The people that the church is people that have been chosen by God, and they chose God, and they love God, and they come together because all the, you just can't stay away because When two or three are gathered together, he's in the midst, the Bible says. And you just can't be any place else. It's the place to be. It's the preparation. See, we're eating of the Word of God today. We're eating at the table of God. We have the Word, which is food, that we're taking in, and we're looking at it, and we're speaking it, and our spirit is hearing it, and we're being built up in the Lord. Faith comes by hearing. You have to hear the Word of God. You have to hear the Word of God to come to Christ. You have to hear the Word of God to grow in Christ. And so we try to have the Word of God in our house going all the time. Something's going. We got Christian TV on, the only quiet time probably in our house is when we're both reading the Bible. And then it's not quiet because we're reading it out loud, but we're in separate rooms most of the time. And so we want the Word of God in there all the time. We want the Word of God in our heart. We want to be hearing the Word of God constantly. And when you do that and then you get into the Word of God, it comes alive. Are you listening to me? Now, God just keeps saying these things. Look in Galatians 4, verse 6. Galatians 4, we'll go back there again. Galatians 4, and the Word of God is so important. Galatians 4, nobody gets saved unless they hear the Word in some fashion at some time. Galatians 4, 6 and 7. Once again, it talks about this same thing. Now, this also means daughters, but here's what it says. You see, this doesn't mean anything to you if you're not a child of God. You say, this doesn't make sense to me. I just don't understand it. You don't understand it if you're not a child of God. Here's what it says. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, what's that mean? That means that in that family of that Roman officer, the kids were just servants unless they were adopted as sons. Do you understand? They'll live their whole life as a servant unless they're adopted as sons. And so that's what it's talking about here. Wherefore, thou no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ, you see. So once again, we are an heir of God in Jesus Christ. Now, look in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. That's the next book over, chapter 1, verse 1. And it says something else that you are if you're a Christian. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the what?
Saints.
To the who?
Saints,
who are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, he's talking about the people in the church at Ephesus. You think every one of them lived a perfect life? I don't think so. You think that any of them ever sinned? Yes. But what does he call them? Because that's what they are. That word saint means sanctified one. One set apart for God. God took you and set you apart for himself. You see. And he can do whatever he wants to with your life. What you have to do is find out what he wants and then do it. We're all different. We're all unique. We don't all have the same mission. But if God just wanted to take you and put you up on the shelf and say, there's a beautiful saint, he'll do it. Some people say, I just don't know. I don't know what God wants me to do. And maybe he doesn't want you to do anything, but just love him. And of course, share the Word of God to those you love. But the issue, God has different, as they say, different strokes for different folks. That's what he has. It's not all the same. We're not all preachers. We're not all evangelists. We're not all whatever. Now, you say, well, that says that there, but doesn't say it anyplace else. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and here's what he says. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be what?
Saints.
Called to be what?
Saints.
Saints. There you are, same thing. With all that is every place, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And what that says is, if you're a Christian, you're a saint. That word saint means not you're perfect, but you're a sanctified one, one set apart for the purpose of God. And one of the purposes we already learned to be with him in eternity forever. Now, look in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Something else that we are in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And I want you to see, if you're a Christian, and these verses are for you, and here's what it says. For we, that's you and I, Christians, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, another part of our life is that we were created by Jesus Christ. There's not a person on this earth that was not created by Jesus Christ. There's not a person on this earth that God did not want to be born. There's not a person on this earth that can't come to Christ if they desire to do so. He said, whosoever will may come. Here he says, for we, that's you and I, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's his plan for us, to do good works. That's not to be saved. It's because we are saved, to do good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, God had a plan for your life before you were ever born. So here you're born, and his plan is that you're going to come to him, and then you're going to do what he's called you to do. Now, if you've messed that up all the way up to this point, now is the time you can begin to get it right. It's never too late. If we come to Christ and do our own thing, what does that mean? Well, we've wasted so many years, which we can't get back, but we can start now for the rest of the years we have in this life to do good works. If you have 2 days, you can do good works in 2 days. If you have 20 years, you can do good works in 20 years. We are designed to do good works. We are created by God. We're God's workmanship. That means he designed you in the way that you are, not if you're doing wrong, but I'm talking about the general design. He designed you. Every single one of us is different. There's no two the same. There's nobody else like you in the entire world.
That's right.
Just like there's no two snowflakes alike. Can I explain that? Absolutely not. But I can tell you, there's nobody else like you. There's no one else that can love Jesus Christ like you. You can do it in a unique way that will bless him. You can do certain things on this earth that nobody else can do when you're in Christ. And that's what this says. You see, these things begin to build on each other. He has chosen you. He has designed you. He has created you. He has a plan for you, and so on. He has a plan for everybody. Do they do it? No. Some people mess up the whole thing. In fact, the Bible says there's some people that are Christians but don't do anything God tells them to do, and they squeak into heaven with no works whatsoever. And they get no rewards. You know, Paul kept saying, I'm working for the high prize of the calling of Christ. I'm doing what I do. And he went through hell and back in his ministry, but he was doing what God wanted him to do. And he said, there's going to be a prize up there in heaven for me because I have done what God has called me to do in this life. You see. And so a lot of us are still living in the old clothes, and we haven't got out of those clothes and put on the new that Jesus Christ asked us to do. It's not complicated. It really isn't. It's loving Him. It's being in the Word of God. It's obeying Him. It's thinking about God. It's speaking about God and doing what God wants you to do. Wherever you work, that's what you're supposed to be. Wherever God has placed you, that's what you're supposed to be. Somebody has some dumb idea that the preacher's the only one who does that stuff. No, he's the one who's telling you what God says about doing this stuff. And that's what I'm telling you. You take these scriptures, this is, put your name on Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Put your name on John 15, 16. Put your name on there because God's talking about you and he's talking to you, you see. And that's important. Now, we want to look in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. And here we go again. Now it says, Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, you're no longer strangers and sojourners or wanderers, but you are fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. Put your name there, you see. You are no longer strangers. You're no longer wanderers. You're not being blown by the wind like leaves in the fall, but your fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of God. You're in the family of God. You're in the household of God. You're no longer strangers. You have a place. You have a destiny. You have a purpose. And now you're beginning to know why you're in this world today. Maybe for the first time you just found out why you're here. I don't know about you, that's pretty exciting. Okay, let's just keep moving. Romans 6:8. Oh, getting late here. Well, it'll take one more maybe. Romans 6:18. And I'm going to lead you through some more of these next time. And we're just going to keep learning this till we get it, till we understand what God's purpose is. And then you'll begin to do it. All right, Romans 6:18. You know, there isn't anything you can't know and there isn't anything you can't do if it's in the plan of God. Whoever God calls, he empowers. Whoever God calls, he gives you the knowledge to do it. You see, he's not going to design you for something and not give you the wherewithal to do it. That's not going to happen. God's not that way. He's not going to give you something. And another thing is, he'll never take it back. He'll never take it back. The Bible says when he gives you a gift, he'll never take it back. You may not use it, but he won't take it back. I had a girl come in here one time, it was on Sunday night, and she came in just for the service. And she said, I'm not going to stay. I just want to tell you that I'm a Christian. I said, that's good. She said, I have this gift and that gift and the other gift, but she says, I haven't been living for him. I said, have you been using those gifts? And she said, no. But I still have them. I said, I understand that. Now you need to start living for Christ and using those gifts he'd given you because he'll never take them away. You can use the gift of God for the devil. People are doing it all the time. You can use the gifting that God has given you and use it for the devil. It's amazing. Romans 6:18. Being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. You were freed from sin on the cross. What's that mean? That means you don't have to sin anymore. I didn't say you're going to live a perfect life in this life. Nobody did but Jesus. But the issue is you can come awfully close. I had a preacher one time. He was talking to a bunch of pastors. And he said to them, I think there was a time in my life when I did not sin for 6 months. And they said, that's impossible. We've been freed from sin. We don't have to sin. I didn't say we wouldn't. I said we don't have to. And then he went on to say, I don't think I sinned during that time because God just gave me an extra gift for that 6 months not to sin. And the reason he did it was so I could tell you this day that it's possible to live for God in this sinful world and be a blessing to him. You see, our thing is, we're always worried about how we're sinning. What we ought to be doing is how we can be a blessing. There's such thing as being so sin conscious that you never become a blessing because you're worried every second you're doing something terribly wrong. And some churches, if there isn't enough in the Bible, they'll add another 5,000 or 6,000 rules and drive you totally insane. There's enough in the Bible for me. I don't want to add I don't want to add to it. In fact, every single sin is listed in the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is really a category of sins. And so if you're following the Ten Commandments, you don't have to worry about the rest of the stuff. And so it really is. And all the Ten Commandments are designed for Christians is to show you when you're not moving in the design of God. It's not that God's going to go up there and hit you with a big stick if you as a Christian do something wrong. No, he's going to use these commandments, plaster them all over the walls so that you know the divine plan of God. And he said you were freed from those sins on the cross at Calvary. I didn't say you'd never do them, but you don't have to.
That's right.
To be blessed and be a blessing of the Lord. We need to understand what these scriptures mean. It means God freed you from, you were, in fact, before you were a Christian, everything was sin because you did it for me, myself, and I, if you're really honest. If you're really honest. You know, half the Christian just drives them crazy when Jesus said, give it all away. Just drives them nuts. It has me too at times, to be honest with you. God said, give this to so-and-so. Wait a minute here, God. I mean, come on. I got 10 times better than that up in heaven. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Be a blessing here on the earth. God says you can live on this earth as one of his children, pleasing to him. And we ought to start that day out, our day out like that. Lord, I started my day out and said, Lord, fill me with your love, fill me with your faith, and fill me with your hope. That covers the whole thing. I'm not interested in mine. I'm interested in his working through me because he's inside of me. I have his love. I have his faith. I have his hope. I want to get it out into my life so I can give it to somebody else. You see what I'm saying? Now, we need to start living on a higher plane. We need to start living with a higher expectation. And Satan is going to bring up all that junk in the past, but you can spit in his eye. Because that's all he can do is bring it up. He can't bring it back. Hallelujah! He can't bring it back. He can only bring it up. And you say, I'm not that person anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not that person anymore. And you can determine what you think. You don't have to think in the past. Because if you do, he'll bring that junk up every single time he can bring it up. Every time. If you around somebody that hurt you in the past and you're around somebody similar to them now, he'll bring that past stuff up.
That's right.
You see? Because he wants to mess up the plan of God in your life, and the only way he can do it is you give in to him and start thinking about that past stuff. Because as far as God's done, it was erased from the computer in heaven. Are you listening to me? God will never bring up your past. God will never bring up your past unless you're, the only exception to that, if you're doing something you did in the past and he said, you don't have to do that anymore. He might talk to you about it, but that's about it. We need to start living who we are. We can love anybody. You know, I think about it. God loves bin Laden. He doesn't love what he's doing. Doesn't love what he's doing, but he loves him as a person. Doesn't mean he's going to heaven. I just said he loves everybody. He loves you and loved you when you were doing the worst sin in your entire life. God loved you at that point in your life. Sin doesn't change the love of God. You can't do anything that will change the love of God for you. Now get this, you need to understand this. You can't do anything that will stop God from loving you. Doesn't mean he approves of it. Doesn't mean there aren't consequences to it. But it's not going to change God's love for you. It's always there. It just keeps coming. It just keeps coming. It just keeps coming. And you have to stand up and look into it and say, come on, love of God. Hallelujah. Here I am. We're in the last days, folks. We haven't got time to mess around. And if we are, even if we weren't, some of us are in the last days of our life. And we haven't got time to mess around. I haven't got time to mess around with anything. I'm finding out the older I get, the more closer I get to God, I care about few things in this life anymore. I really do. I just want to do the things of God and listen to the things of God and be around the things of God. It's just so wonderful. But of course, I understand if you have a family, you got children, you got things to do, you got busy things, but still there ought to be a time. There ought to be a time. God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for placing me in this planet and choosing me as one of yours. What a wonderful thing. Let's stand before the Lord.